Bible reading, and that's what I want to do tonight. So please take your Bible and turn to Psalm number 103. Psalm 103, we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. And I want to do an expository message from that on how you should praise the Lord. How you should praise the Lord. You know, the Bible said if we don't praise the Lord, if we, God's people, don't praise the Lord, even the rocks would cry out. God wants us to praise Him. Now, I hear some churches where the shout died out. That's not going to be here. Amen. We know, as Charles G. Finney said, not the cat, but the preacher, Charles G. Finney, the preacher, said that where Mr. Wet Eyes and Mr. Amen exist, revival is not far away. And we believe that praising the Lord and getting all into God is a wonderful thing, and God wants us to be there and to do that. And so I want to talk to you tonight about how you should praise the Lord from Psalm 103 and verses 1 through 7. And the first thing I want to say is you need to tell yourself to praise the Lord for who He is. You need to tell yourself to praise the Lord for who He is. If you don't, you're liable to curse the Lord under your breath. If you don't, you're liable, because Satan wants you not to praise the Lord. He wants you to curse the Lord. And he wants you to have a bad spirit. And he wants you to be angry, or he wants you to be discouraged. And so tonight, listen, everybody listen. He tells you, and you need to tell yourself to praise the Lord for who he is. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 103. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Now, who's he preaching to there? His own soul. You know, God wants you to talk to yourself. How many of you have ever talked to yourself? Amen. Well, if you talk to yourself, you're not crazy if you're telling yourself, "Bless the Lord." That means praise God, oh my soul. And he wants you to be more positive about what comes to your way in life. And you're positive when you bless the Lord. We used to have a youth director here by the name of Mark Hebert. You were under Mark Hebert's youth ministry. And he was a good man. And I remember Brother Mark Hebert, he wanted to have a more excellent spirit. He read in the Bible about how Daniel had an excellent spirit. He read in the Bible about how Joseph had an excellent spirit. You know, some people, their spirit is like this. They're up and down. And they're not on top side all the time. Jack Hiles, he had an excellent spirit. I talked about him today. God wants you to have an excellent and a positive spirit. And Brother Mark Hebert, when you would ask him, "How are you doing, Brother Mark?" he would say,
"Fantastic."
Fantastic. And, you know, a lot of times you ask Christians how they're doing. They're grumbling and groaning. And I used to have a pastor friend of mine who was an RA in my dorm in college, Powers Payton, his name was. He said, "In my church, I got a section of gumblers." He didn't say grumblers. He called them gumblers. That was his nickname. Don't be a gumbler. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And somebody says, "How you doing?" "I'm doing good under the circumstances." And the reply to that is, what are you doing under the circumstances? We're seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places tonight. And so we've got reasons to bless the Lord. And that's what I want to preach to you tonight about, why you can have reasons to be positive and preach to yourself and tell yourself to bless the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, what's a reason? Here it is in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are called according to his purpose. You say, who are those that love God? Everybody is saved. Preachers preach on that a different way. I studied Romans for many years. That's, if you're saved, you love God. I said, if you're saved, you love God. Maybe not perfectly, but you love God. If you're saved, you are called according to his purpose. You're called by the Lord, and He gave you that quickening grace that we sang out so that you could believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're saved because, guess what? You say, I'm saved because I believe on the Lord. That's right. But the Bible says, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you. It doesn't mean you never chose the Lord, but He chose you first. If He didn't choose you, you'd never choose Him. Let me say that again. If He didn't choose you, you'd never would have chose Him. Because you're too dead, dumb, and in sin. And so thank God that you have a reason to praise the Lord. And if you are somebody that loves God, if you are somebody that's been called out of darkness by the power of Jesus, then you have a reason to bless the Lord, because no matter what's happening in your life, it's not by chance. John Calvin never said good luck. It's not by chance. Everything is engineered by an almighty, all-powerful, gracious, and loving God who blessed your life. You know, the Bible says that God chose Israel to be His chosen people, and He chose Jacob. And Jacob said this when his sons came to him. And they came to him after he sent them down to Egypt to get bread. And they had to go back. And they went a second time because they ran out of bread and they were having a famine. And they went down there, and the man who had given them all that food and everything, the ruler of Egypt, that Egyptian man, he said to them, I want you to bring your younger brother. Because he asked them, and they told him he had a young, and I won't give you any more bread until you bring your younger brother. And he said, I want to take Simeon, your brother here, and put him in jail until you come back. And his brothers told their father Jacob that, Dad, we can't go down and get bread unless we bring Benjamin, the son of Rachel, the only surviving son. He said, you guys took Joseph from me. He took Simeon from me. He blamed it on them. How many of you blame things on people when you have problems? Don't raise your hand. But you do. He blames Abba. But you do. Some people blame their wives. Some wives blame their husbands for everything. Some people blame their children. That's what he was doing. He was blaming his children. You know, like the guy said in the Bible, my son's a lunatic. And they blame their children. But that's just a way to curse God. You're cursing God when you're blaming somebody. God is the blessed controller of every circumstance. And let's see what Jacob said when they told him, we can't go back unless we bring Benjamin. Jacob's, their father, said unto them, me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. So he's blaming them. And then he said, all these things are against me. Ever felt like that? There's something against me. Well, I want to say, if you are a child of God, a born-again Christian, that's a lie. The Bible said, if God be for us, who can be against us? You see, God has shown you He's for you. And He's given you an eternal monument of His love when His son died on the cross. And so you need to preach to yourself the next time you feel that way, and tell your feelings to get in line, and preach to your soul and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, because God is working everything together for good in my life. I had a flat tire. After church, I brought it up. I don't know how God's going to use that for good, but I know He's going to use that for good. That's why the Bible says, In everything give thanks, not after everything give thanks, after it all works out. That's what the Israelites did. Oh, they praised the Lord after he opened the Red Sea and they went through. But before they went through the Red Sea, they said, oh, Moses, you brought us out here to kill us. And they were just giving grief to Moses. And listen, learn to praise the Lord and thank the Lord in everything. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. You want to know the will of God? Bless the Lord, O my soul, in everything. And that's the will of God. The Bible says it. And so how you should praise the Lord? Tell yourself to praise the Lord for who he is. And don't get angry with God or at others that you would blame, that you blame for the problems, but believe Romans 8:28 and you will be able to bless the Lord. By the way, the next time you feel a terrible frustration, anger, or discouragement because it looks like everything is stacked up against you, remember that's a lie. God is not a God of chance. Everything is working together for your good. And we've baked brownies or baked a cake, or you're going to bake a pie and you may put in some vanilla and taste that. You may put in some salt and taste that, some baking powder, baking soda, taste that, and some sugar and so forth, and some chocolate, and just cocoa doesn't taste very good. You put it all together with an egg and so forth. You taste that raw egg, doesn't taste that good. But when you put it all together and you bake it, isn't it delicious? Yeah, that's what God is doing. And we need to learn to offer God a sacrifice of praise. And I think of Job. Remember when he went through all the terrible things that he went through, he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I remember in 2017 when Satan knocked me out of the pulpit, knocked me out of the church for 9 months. And I remember hearing a message at Steve and Patty's, and Patty was always good to provide hospitality along with her husband to help me and help others like me. And I remember hearing a message by Jack Hiles, offer the sacrifice of praise. That means when it costs you something, praise God. And I remember, he giveth, Lord giveth, Lord taketh away. Praise the Lord. I know you're in control. I know you're going to bring good out of this. I know. And I had another one. And here it was. Job said this. Job says, second quote in Job, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You know, in Hebrews 11, you ever read Hebrews 11? It said women received their dead back from the grave. God healed people. God did the walls of Jericho. All these great things God did, and they did it, and they saw it happen by faith. But you know what takes more faith than that? When they got sawn asunder. When they died and they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, and the Bible says the world wasn't worthy of them. They didn't get any deliverance from God. Remember the three Hebrew children? Three Hebrew children, they're being threatened with a fiery furnace. They say, our God is able to deliver us. But if he doesn't choose to deliver us, we're not bowing down to your idol. Boy, that takes faith. It takes more faith when you die and you can say, like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Mark my words, you'll be tested on this. You'll be tested in one way or another to see if you will offer the sacrifice to praise. And how are you going to praise the Lord? You have to know the biblical reasons for it. And then you need to preach to yourself and tell yourself over and over again to praise the Lord, because you can trust him. Number two, tell yourself not to forget. Tell yourself not to to forget all of his blessings. I'm thinking of taking time to thank God for what he has done for you. You know, I like to take time each day to thank God for what he's done for me. You say, well, why should you do that every day? Maybe once a week, once a year? How about Thanksgiving? No, every day, friend. Every day is Thanksgiving. And the Bible tells us, and very clearly tells us, that God, his mercies, listen, are new, fresh, every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Israel had manna fresh from heaven. They had angels' food. They ate it in the wilderness. Do you know how healthy that was for their body? Can you imagine it? People eat the American diet, and it's not very healthy. But man, they were eating angels' food. How did they respond to that? Oh, we're sick of this food. Blah, 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 blah. We like the Egyptian food. Yeah, did you forget about the Egyptian chains? Did you forget about the Egyptian whips? Did you forget about old Pharaoh over you? They forgot about all that. They just remembered, hey, don't you forget God and his benefits. Tell yourself, I'm forgetful. I'm forgetful. And you preach to yourself not to do that. You know, every time Israel faced a problem, they forgot how God supernaturally delivered them before. They got out in the wilderness, they didn't have water, and they complained, you're going to let us die of thirst out here. And they forget how he delivered them out of Egypt, how he split the Red Sea, and all the things that he did. And right away, God told Moses, beat the rock, and the rock gave water. And then they forgot that. And when they needed food, they complained. I'm just saying, if we would remember the things that he's done for us, and we would recount them back to God, what a difference it would make in your life. Now, you forget his benefits. You forget the things he's done. But here's what the Bible says about God concerning you as a believer. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Some of you ladies that have breastfed your babies, that have held that baby in your arms, can you forget that baby? Well, here's what it says. Yea, they may forget, yet will not I, God says, forget thee. I remember my dad telling me, my mother didn't tell me this story, but when I was a little baby, I had a diaper with pins. You know, they pinned your diapers on you back then. They washed the diapers and fluffed them and dried them, and then they put them on you and they put pins through them. This was back in the day when I was a sucking child, a little baby. And I remember my dad said, oh, you were a nice baby. You didn't cry. You didn't whine. But you were whining a little bit. You were whining. And it wasn't like you to whine. And he said, I noticed that your mother had pinned your diaper through your skin and clicked it on and thought that everything was done. And you were crying. He said, well, I got you out of that. Of course, he loved to tell that story. My mom, not so much. She didn't like that story. But God said, even your mother could forget you, but God doesn't forget you. And should we therefore forget him who thinks of us all the time and is a loving God and a spiritual husband, the Lord Jesus? And I'm thinking of God told Noah, he said, build an ark. And Noah took 120 years to build the ark. He said, I'm going to flood the world and you'll be saved in that ark. And Noah and his wife and three sons and their wives, eight people were in that ark. They were safe, but the whole world was flooded and Noah was out there. And what's going to happen? And here's what the Bible says in Genesis 8, verse 1. It says, and God remembered Noah and everything, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark, And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters were assuaged. Genesis 8:1. You know what? Noah served God. He did a saving work to save the world and the animals, and got in the ark, which is a picture of Jesus, and got others to get in the ark, and God flooded the earth, but he didn't leave him there in that flood. God sent a wind. He said he remembered Noah and everything that was with him, and he made a wind to pass over. And so God saw Noah did a saving work, and God came through for him. Now, I'm speaking to those of you that are involved in a work of getting people saved. God remembers you. God's watching out for you. And you can take heart that the Lord will come through for you. We bought another bus. We've got some challenges, of course, with buses. But I believe God will come through for us. Because those buses are like a little ark. And we're getting people on them and getting them the good news. And so take heart, those of you in the bus ministry, because God remembers you. God's not going to forget you. He'll come through for you. We've got some men that pray especially on Saturday morning, called Revival Seekers Prayer Meeting. I think we had 9 men out Saturday. God notices everyone. And take heart, God will hear your prayers. I think of Wilda Rodriguez and how she prayed for so many years. And her husband came back to the Lord in a wonderful way. Yeah, God took him home, but I believe God's doing a work in her children now. And her son Christian told me that I've been reading the Bible. I've decided to follow Jesus. I know I'm saved, but I'm revived, and I want to join the church, Pastor, and serve the Lord. God remembers you who pray to him. He doesn't just forget your prayers. He stores them up in a bottle and keeps them. And so you people that are praying, God remembers you and he'll come through for you. And that's not just in the Old Testament about Noah. It's in the New Testament. Hebrews 6 verse 10 says this, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love." Think about that. You know what work is? It's work. You think bus ministry is work? Yeah. Soul winning is work? Yeah. Prayer is work? Yeah. But not only your work, but what? Your labor. You know what labor is? It's hard work. It's hard work. And sometimes we work hard and we labor to the bone. But we're not alone. God hears us. He's watching over us. And he will come through. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward," what? "His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." I know Miss Angela had surgery, and Awilda had not planned to have a dinner in the church. She didn't want to bother anybody, but Miss Angela asked her about it, and she saw it would meet a need. And I said to Miss Angela, "Are you up for that? That was a lot of work the last time. I know you just had surgery. Your husband just had a heart attack. You've been through some hard things." And she said, "Pastor, no, it's my privilege. I want to do that." You see, God sees your work. He sees your labor. And sometimes you might think about it, people don't appreciate it, or so-and-so doesn't appreciate it. Listen, Jesus appreciates it. And he says that he is not unrighteous to forget. Now, sometimes people forget. They forget to say thank you. But not the Lord. When you give tithes and you give offerings to the bus ministry or to needy saints or to Sunday school or to some other thing like the building, the Lord's watching you. Remember the woman with just the two mites, and she threw in all she had, and the Lord said to her, look at her, she's sacrificially giving. He doesn't forget it. I'm talking to you about how you can not be a critical grumbler, but a praise person of God. And you can do that by telling yourself to praise the Lord for who He is and what He does. Telling yourself not to forget all of His blessings. Remember them. And then lastly, tell yourself all of His blessings or His benefits. In other words, name them one by one. It says in the song there, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. It will surprise you what the Lord's done. Well, you know, the world talks about friends with benefits. And that's usually referring to greedy, grubby fornication. And that's not beneficial to you. God says whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. But the Bible says there is a friend with benefits. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And who is that friend? Jesus. Amen. Jesus. He's here tonight in church. Right. He'll be here tonight in the Lord's table. Boy, I wouldn't want to not be a member of a local church like this. I wouldn't want to be out there. Why? I want to be close to the Lord. He's my friend with benefits. Amen? And so I am saying that you need to tell yourself of His benefits. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. The psalmist put it this way. He said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, who is the help of thy countenance. And thy God. You see, you can be discouraged if you don't name these benefits that He's given you as a child of God, one by one. And if you don't keep doing it. And David, the young man who was leading his men and the Amalekites, while he led his men to do the Lord's work and fight the Lord's battle, the Amalekites came and burned the village down. The Amalekites stole all their wives, stole their children, stole their goods, and took them all away. And David's men were so discouraged, they wanted to stone him and blame him. Like I said, Jacob wanted to blame him. We tend to want to blame people. And what did David do? The Bible said David, and you know what he did, he encouraged himself, what? In the Lord. This is what we're talking about. Naming the blessings of God, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And you need to know how to encourage yourself. What are some of the benefits the Lord gives you? Number one, in Psalm 103 verse 1, it says, He forgives all your iniquities. Now, sometimes our sin affects others and hurts others. And if our sin is just against God, we need to confess our sin to God. But if it affects somebody else, we need to say to them, I'm sorry I was unfaithful to you as a friend because you may have been gossiping about it. Would you forgive me? Or I'm sorry I did this or that hurt you. Would you forgive me? And we need to do that. Amen? Now, hopefully they'll forgive us, but if they won't forgive us, the Lord forgives. You see, He forgives all our iniquities. People don't always forgive, but the Lord forgives, and that means you can keep going on. Even if a person is ready to write you off, even if a person says, oh, you're no good, I write you off, I don't want... No, God won't throw you in a garbage can. God won't give up on you. Listen, you may fall 7 times 7. Peter said, how many times do I forgive? 70 times 7, Jesus said. That's how God forgives. And so you could keep getting up. You might not be a success. You keep failing. But you keep getting up. Perhaps you will succeed. Now, maybe your wife won't forgive you, old man. Or your husband. Or somebody else. But God forgives you. And you just do what God wants you to do. Whether you're forgiven or not by a person, you ask them to forgive you. And then you go on, because God forgives all our iniquities through Jesus. Number two, it says he heals all your diseases. Amen and amen. You know, I got problems. You got problems. I got a problem with my thumb. Probably need surgery on it. Got a problem with my knee. That's doing better. Somebody's been praying for me. Got a problem with my eye. Need to get my eye cut. Got a problem here. Got a problem there. Here a problem. There a problem. Want me to tell you all my problems? No, you don't. And they're nothing compared to some people. They're nothing. I have to remember that. But I can tell you this. He healed a lot of diseases that I've had through the years. My grandfather used to tell me, he said, man, I take things to the Lord and he heals them for me. He's done that for me over and over again. You say, but what if he doesn't heal you? It says he heals all your diseases. What if he doesn't heal you? Well, then how is that verse fulfilled? One of the men tell me, how is that verse fulfilled? Or is he lying to us? How is that fulfilled? One of the men tell me, raise your hand if you know. Brother Matthew knows. How is that fulfilled?
In our final glorification.
Yeah. When he raises our bodies, you're never going to have a thumb out of joint. You're never going to have cancer. You're never going to have heart disease. You're never going to have any of these things. And so he forgives all our sins, but he heals all our diseases. And even now, he gives you partial healing in answer to prayer so often. And many of you pray for it. Wonderful. And the Bible says he redeems your life from destruction. Brother Tom Layton was over the other day, and Matthew was there. And we were talking about our sins and how we sin every day and how we fail God every day. And I looked at Brother Tom Layton and I said, you know what? Yeah, we sin every day. I said, I sin today. And I just named a couple of sins. He said, yeah, oh yeah, we sin every day. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, if God would mark iniquities, who would stand? God could hold your sins against you. He has the right. He's just. And he could send you to hell for your sins. You deserve it. I deserve it. But the psalmist here is saying, he has redeemed my life from destruction. Redeem means he paid a price to save me from destruction. You know what that price was. Not gold or silver or money. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you praise him for that? I can praise him for that today. And the Bible said if God would give his son to die so that you don't go to hell, and he would put his own son through hell, how much more will he with his son give you anything else you need? Romans chapter 8, he'll give you freely anything you need. I'm talking to you about tell yourself all of these benefits. Go over them again and again. And he says that he will not condemn us. Christ died for us. He was buried. He's risen again. He's now praying for us and standing before God to represent us. You know, Pastor Charles Ware, he would not be condemning. I remember failing as a Christian, and he would rebuke and he would straighten out, but he always pointed you back to Christ. You quoted the verse by Robert Murray McShane, the great Scottish preacher. He said, for every look you take at yourself, take 10,000 looks at Christ. Wow. I find no flaw in Christ. And what a blessing that is. And therefore, when you look at your brother or sister in Christ, have hope for them. What can God do? It's so wonderful what he can do. We saw Benji Rodriguez and how he was joyous and rejoicing. And God can use your life and bring your life back. Another benefit is in verse number 5. I'll read it. It says, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." I was telling somebody, Brother Joe, that for 13 years I ate a diet that God led me to eat, and it's supposed to reverse heart disease. Reverse heart disease. And God showed me that diet. And I began to eat that for 13 years. And I didn't do it till I was over 60 years of age. And I found out that when you're over 60 years of age and you eat that diet, it does not reverse the plaque on your arteries. But if you're under 60 and you do that, that disappears. And the doctor, Dr. Esselton, remember we went there, he showed how those arteries literally, he showed before and after pictures of the arteries, and they literally shrank. You can have a guy that looks like a bodybuilder and his arteries look terrible. They're sick. And the blood can hardly get through them. But you eat the right food and they will shrink. It's scientifically proven. And Dr. Esselton provided that proof. But I was doing it over 60 years old, and I said, what good is that going to do for me? My blood pressure will still be up. My sacrificing for nothing. Dr. Esselton showed that while it doesn't take the plaque off your artery, it provides a coating for it that keeps it from breaking off. Because when it breaks off, it blocks your artery, and white blood cells come in to stop the bleeding, and they occlude the artery, and that allows no blood to go through, and therefore the heart is pumping, 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 but not getting any blood to pump, and that kills the heart muscle, and you die. So, what does God do? He satisfies our mouth with good things. He gives us things that are healthy that we can eat. That's true physically. It's also true spiritually. But don't many people eat a bunch of junk food? And don't many Christians eat a bunch of junk instead of eating the good things from the Bible? It's available to you. And God says, I want to give you good things, and I'll satisfy your mouth with good things. Psalm 103. Why? So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And I'm not saying I'm the healthiest man that ever lived, but I have had my youth renewed. I have felt good, and I know what it feels like, and I know that comes from God. And it's true spiritually, it's true physically. Let's not divide the two. They're both important. The spiritual, even more important. And then he says in verse 6, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. We've been oppressed in this country by a shadow government, a deep state, wicked people that have taken over the demon rat party. But we prayed and God came through. And we can pray and God will execute judgment upon the systems of evil over this country. I believe that. The Bible says, shall not God avenge his own elect which cry unto him day and night? Yeah, he will come through for you. You could come to him. He will come through for you. And when Satan is lording it over you or lording it over your loved ones, you could pray and God will break the bonds of Satan. I've seen it in my own family. I've seen it in the church family. Don't forget all his benefits, that God will execute judgment on those that are putting you down and oppressing you from the enemy because you cry unto him. And one more thing in verse 7, he says, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. See, the children of Israel, listen, didn't know God. They only knew when he did great things for them, like split the Red Sea. They only knew when he made the manna come. But between those times, they weren't praising God. Between those times, they weren't thanking God. Between those times, they weren't believing in God, because they had no faith. They had no faith. Joshua had real faith. Moses had real faith. Caleb had real faith. Not everybody in this church are really saved tonight, I'm sure. You say, do you know who I am? No, I don't. Many of the disciples didn't know Judas wasn't saved. I don't know your heart. God does. But if you're not a real believer, you're not going to heaven just because you're in a Christian family or a Christian school or in a Baptist church. But listen, when you believe, the Lord is in your heart and the Lord is in your life. And the wonderful thing about it is that you have a personal relationship with the Lord where you know him and you know how he operates and you can walk with him and talk with him. Religious people don't have that. Just religious people that don't have a relationship with God. If you've got that, praise the Lord for that. That's what eternal life is. It's not just to go to heaven. You get sick of the gates of pearl. You get sick of the streets of gold. But you'll never get sick of Jesus. You'll never get sick of him. Why would you feed on the husk of this world when you could feed on the Lord? He feeds our mouth with good things. And he says, you can know my ways, not just get excited when I do something spectacular. I remember I shared this. There was somebody in this church years ago, and they walked away from the church. They walked away from the Lord. They went after the world, and I knew they were believers. And I was reading in my Bible, what should I do? What can I do? Can I go after them? What should I do? And here's what the verse I got from the Bible. Ephraim hath joined himself to idols. Let him alone. And I just said, okay, God, you show me. I'm just going to let it alone. And years later, that person repented and came back and got involved in a big way with the Lord and with the church. We need to tell ourselves all of his benefits, list them, name them, and this is how you praise the Lord. You tell yourself to praise the Lord every day. You tell yourself not to forget what he's done for you in the past. Tell yourself and list all of his benefits, and it should make a difference in your life. It should make a difference in your spirit, because the world is watching you and they see what kind of spirit you have. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed. I wonder if you have been praising the Lord as you